sang out a song of the soul.
And we'll sing this song. Why don't you sing along? And we can sing.
Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That is what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. Be it joy and laughter, sorrow and tears, awe and insight, or deepest devotion, as we visit and listen, we are all part of a spiritual voyage called Song of the Soul. I'm so very happy to welcome back David Wilcox to share his second Song of the Soul, following up on his 2000 interview. David has a hearty laugh, even when digging deep in the challenges and pains of our lives, managing to keep grace and gratitude percolating without rose-colored glasses. His gift is sharing the full story without inundating us with all of the words, therefore calling them out from us. Thanks to Andrew Jansen for production assistance on today's show. There is a full uncut version of this interview on northernspiritradio.org with about 3 extra minutes. David Wilcox now joins us from Asheville, North Carolina. David, I'm so glad to have you here today for Song of the Soul.
Thank you. It's fun to be back talking to you.
And thank you for putting me into deep work listening to your latest album. I think it's your latest album, The Way I Tell the Story. How long does it take you to create an album?
It depends on where you start the clock. You know, it's usually the last thing I think of until it's the only thing I'm thinking of. And I love creating songs and I love recording them. And then suddenly the bucket is full and I have to, you know, take it to the truck. And so I think the gathering together of songs, that's more like looking back on a year and wondering, so what was this year about in my journey? So I pick through all the possible songs. And the funny part is there's so many songs to choose from. This wonderful producer that I was working with, he said, so send me the songs that you think you're definitely in the running. And I sent him, you know, some songs. And he said, what the hell is this? I said, you said, you know, send. He said, this is 50 songs. I said, yeah. He said, edit. Send me 10. I said, oh, okay.
The production process itself, about how much time are you spending in the studio or going back, revisions, all of that?
Well, it's such a fascinating thing now because I have a studio in my home where I can do my parts. But then there's other studios all over the country where friends and hired musicians add their parts, and then we put it together in another studio. So we record drums in a beautiful studio here in Asheville that's got a big room. It used to be a church, and sometimes there's 4 or 5 of us in the room playing all the parts. But there's so many choices, and sometimes, you know, in those group sessions, everybody plays really well except me, and then I redo my part. But sometimes we all get it right at once. It's good.
But when you're doing it across the country, I mean, I know people like John McCutcheon and many others who do recordings with people who are scattered here and there and everywhere, weekly get-togethers that John McCutcheon does with Tom Paxton and Carrie Newcomer and others. So do you do that kind of thing as well? Are you making music from afar, writing songs with other folks, or is this always coming from your central place?
I do love co-writing with people, and sometimes that happens over Zoom, but I prefer it person to person.
Tell me a little bit about this album, The Way I Tell the Story, beginning Genesis. Give me the overall picture. Was it post-COVID yet?
Yeah, uh-huh. And I feel like so many of the songs are dealing with the sorrow that I was in, but also talking about how music can sort of metabolize sorrow and turn it into something useful like compassion and energy.
Well, let's dive right into the album and find some of that magic happening. Where do we start, David?
Might as well start with the beautiful.
This refers art, I think, visual art kind of thing. Are you an artist in other ways besides the dozens of guitars I see in the picture?
I have walked through the greatest museums in the world, and I've never been affected by visual art the way I'm affected by music. It gives me compassion for people who don't feel music as deeply as I do, because there's a whole lot of visual art that I miss out on. And yet, the best way to write the song was with that visual of walking through an art museum, because of the frames around the paintings, like a little boat holds back the ocean. So we make our peace with doing what we can, like in our neighborhood, for our cause, you know, in our community. And what you do kind of holds back the sorrow of all that's wrong in the rest of the world and keeps you afloat.
We're going to talk more about it after we listen to David Wilcox's song, The Beautiful.
Now I'm looking at the paintings in this great museum. The news of one more shooting made me long to cry. I'd love to work for justice and for peace and freedom, but right now I need a refuge that is quiet and dry. So I come to see the beauty when the world is tragic. An umbrella stops the rain, but it won't dry the sky. And this play of light and shadow is transcendent magic, and it changes the whole universe, at least inside. In the ocean deep, when these waves are steep, every hope I keep betrays me. It's the past these priceless works of famous artists, but in between those canvases, it's cold white wall. These painters found a crucible for their catharsis, but they knew that no rendition could contain it all. I'm fearful of the riptide in the sea of sorrow, and I don't have any faith to make waters part. And if I venture out there, I would drown a martyr. And it feels so overwhelming, I can barely start. In the ocean deep, when these waves are steep, every like we're in the same boat, and we all need some protection from the storm outside. We are underneath the cloud of all this dark emotion, but I'll make it through the storm because I've warmed my heart. A wooden hull can rest above a deep, dark ocean, and a window into beauty is a place to start. In the ocean deep, when these waves are steep, every hope I keep betrays me. It's the
David Wilcox joins us today for Song of the Soul from Asheville, North Carolina. His website, davidwilcox.com. His latest album, The Way I Tell the Story, includes that song, The Beautiful. And in some ways, I think you're saying, David, that this is maybe not literally you go to an art museum every time when you're feeling depressed by the world, but that you go to that place of beauty. And since music is the most beautiful place, is that where you go to?
Yeah. The original first verse of this song, which isn't in the song anymore, was a verse about the subtle little ritual of opening the guitar case and taking out the instrument.
And that settles your heart? It's a meditative device?
I've always had this practice of, before I click the latches, I have to make sure that I'm in it for the right reasons. So it's kind of an invocation that I do.
It sounds like you are a conscious and, I think, empathic person.
My favorite memories are conversations where people are talking about what really matters and what stirs their hearts and what gives them hope. And I love being around people who are very much alive. And I have just sort of steered by that appetite. And little by little, it has created a life that really sings like a good song.
What's the age at which you can first remember having that appetite you're just talking about?
Fourth grade.
Fourth grade. How did this come up? Can you tell me a story about it?
It's ridiculous, but yes. I had this sense of strong accountability, not from people watching, not from any sort of, you know, authority figures, but I had this strange sense of there was consequence to my actions at sort of this big scale. And the fun part was I didn't have language for that because I was raised with no tradition at all, which was a great way to come up because I had a strong mystical sense that just kind of started to come in around fourth grade. But since I had no language for it, I had to sort of make up my own language. And I thought I had somehow felt something that no one else had felt. And it wasn't until years later that I started to read mystics and realize, oh, yeah, this happens.
Well, that's impressive. And was your family culture also creating that in you? Or is this just something, you know, it's kind of a singular travel that you're doing? For me, I got opened up because I had some really good friends who opened me to depth.
Both my parents were raised with enough tradition that they decided it all stops here. And they decided to raise their kids with zero tradition. And it was lovely. There was a great freedom in my childhood. I got to take a long bicycle trip at age 12 with my friend John, who was even younger. And they dropped us off at the Canadian border at the top of Vermont. And we bicycled down through Vermont and New Hampshire and through Boston and out the Cape. And we were just camping out and staying with people that we met. And, you know, it could have ended horribly, I guess. But our parents seemed to think we were trustworthy. And years later, my parents would still argue about, my mom would say, George, I can't believe you let David go on that trip. He was so young. And my dad said, my dad looked at me and said, well, how did I know you were as old as you'd ever been? So there you go.
I hope you heard a lot of arguments like that or disagreements or discussions like that.
It was lovely.
And where were you living at that time?
Ohio.
Ohio. And they took you, dumped you in another state. That's nervy. That's good.
It is. It is. Parents would get arrested these days for doing that. But I thought it was great.
Well, let's go on to some more of the wonderful music of David Wilcox. Where do we go next?
How about let's go The Way I Tell the Story?
And some people might think that that was a sentence as opposed to a name of the song.
All right.
The album is The Way I Tell the Story. What I gleaned from this is that you've either done a lot of therapy or men's work. Or maybe both.
Yeah.
Where does this come from?
It comes from realizing that I have this ability to remember the good things. And so much so that when Nance first visited the house I grew up in and met my mom and my dad and my brother. She talked to them all separately and asked them, so what was Dave like as a kid? And then after she got all the intel, she sort of wanted to talk to me privately outside. She said, yeah, let's go. I said, what? She said, David, you told me that you had a happy childhood. I said, yeah, I did. She said, David, I have met your parents. So I realized from her reaction that, oh, is there something unusual about my parents? I just thought it was great because when she asked them what was Dave like when he was a kid, they all said the same thing. He wasn't here. He was gone. He would go on his bicycle far, far away.
Vermont, yes, and so on. So how did you recover the knowledge? Quite evidently, you do know the other side that you didn't tell the story.
I know that there's lots of stuff that is like fuel for the furnace, creativity-wise, but I know that's a good thing for a songwriter to have, you know?
But did you find the other part? I mean, but part of, for me, for instance, one of the things, I've been part of men's groups very constantly every week since 1991, and we've had retreats where we do intensive men's work, and there are some things that just come up somewhere that I normally don't choose to feel, I guess I'd say. I can think about them. I can know it's there, but I don't feel them. It makes it distant. Is there a way that you've been able to get more in touch with those things that you've, or do you prefer not to?
No, that's the beauty of music. That's what music has offered me, is fearlessness to go in there, what I call cardio spelunking. And to me, for the sake of the music, I just go down into the darkest depths, knowing that I've got music to transform whatever I find and make it usable, make it into energy and wonder. So, yeah, I've always had this strange sense of fearlessness about that. You know, it's just old pain. It didn't kill me the first time. It's not going to kill me now. And so I just kind of go into it as if it's just modeling clay. What are you going to make out of it?
I'm kind of assuming you know who Annie Capps is.
Yeah.
And she talks about doing, what is it, folk therapy or something, music, doing that kind of work, I think. So are you a therapist?
Well, I do these custom songs, you know, and the first one was somebody who said he needed a song that he could get to quickly because he can't get to his therapist when he really needs it. You know, he has to get an appointment. So he said he wanted a song that would reframe all this traumatic stuff in his past. And my manager sort of arranged, yeah, well, I'll ask. And so I talked to him on the phone for an hour and I wrote a song reframing the childhood trauma in a way that was empowering. And he thought it was great. And so I just mentioned this on my website years ago. And now I've done probably 75 of these custom songs. And there was one guy who contacted my manager sort of outraged, you know, like, David should not be doing this. And my manager saying, well, it's kind of consenting adults. I mean, they're telling their story because they want a song. What's the problem? And the guy finally spilled the beans. He was a therapist.
He doesn't want to have someone else out competing him?
He just thought, you don't have credentials. What are you doing? It's just music.
Well, I'm hoping we're not losing track of the music that we're going to. What we're going to listen to now is title track of the most recent album that David Wilcox has put out. The song and the album are The Way I Tell the Story.
I was the lone survivor when we landed in the field. Full investigation never was revealed. The hurt got covered over, never really healed. The scars are on the inside, the evidence was sealed. But the way I tell the story, I just brushed off the dirt. I landed in a haystack, barely tore my shirt. What good would it do me to just replay the past? Accidents will happen, this one happened fast. So I'll look to where I'm going instead of where I've been. I won't deny my history, but I'll give it quite a spin. So the way I tell the story, I just brushed off the dirt. I landed in a haystack, barely tore my shirt. If I'm the only witness, then the story's up to me. If no one else has lived to tell, no one can disagree. Crawling from the wreckage, my childhood up in flames, swirling down the spiral of alcohol and shame. But the way I tell the story, I just brushed off the dirt. I landed in a haystack, barely tore my shirt. Since I'm the only witness, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a hero's journey of the shit that I've been through. I saw the blaze, turned around and ran before it blew. You can't say I crashed and burned, but I can say I flew. I flew.
I can see, David, why you chose The Way I Tell the Story as the title track for that album. It does put it into proper perspective. I had an experience a couple of years ago at a family gathering, my older stepbrother talking about when we were young. He's 4 years older than me. And he says, "You were an angry little boy." And of course, anyone who knows me these days will not say I'm an angry anything. It's not the way I am. But evidently, there was enough of that in me that my siblings noticed. Did you get feedback from siblings or friends of those days about it too?
It's so interesting. I had a lot of anger just at the system of the way high school was sort of intentionally demoralizing, as if it were some sort of military training or training for being a good worker in some factory. But I found a way to keep my emotional buoyancy in the midst of all that. And for me, it was just at the time, the bicycling, the motorcycles, the stuff that gave me a sense of things will get better. There is a road ahead. Things will change. It gave me courage. But I was definitely outspoken.
Well, right now, there's so much going on in the world. Too many people get stuck in doom scrolling.
Yeah.
I take it you have equivalent of a 12-step friend or someone who slaps your hands and say, "Don't touch that phone," or whatever.
Oh, it is such a strange waste of time. And I've, removed the apps from my phone. But yeah, it is sad how perfectly designed it is to keep us from our own lives.
I have to say that my saving grace is that I usually get most of my news. I read headlines, that kind of thing, and I do read articles here and there. But my main source of it is the comedy shows, the Colbert, and the Daily Show, and whatever. Those are a way that gives me those pieces of the news and puts it in a different frame, not just a doom scroll, let's all weep together or scream. Does comedy play any part in your life?
Well, I like to introduce songs with a sense of humor, yeah.
Well, then give us another song and I'll see if you have a sense of humor as you introduce it.
Let's see. How about the song "I Made It Rain"? This is a song that starts out talking about, imagine a guy who climbs up the hill with these little wings that he has built. And he jumps off the cliff, but he doesn't fall. He flies up, 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 way above the clouds, and somehow does his magic so that the town gets the rain that it needs. Now, that's amazing. No one could do that. And yet, that paragraph sits as the first verse. And then right after that, sitting right beside it, is, okay, so I found some words, and I took the time to work it through, and I knew my heart, and I had the nerve to speak my truth, and I found the will, and I sang the songs that keep me sane. I made it rain. So comparing these two things, saying that being a singer-songwriter and somehow making a life out of that is ridiculous, impossible. You'd never like say to someone, you know, the best career move for you would be folk music. And yet this is a song of gratitude for the fact that I did that. I got to stand where the lights are hot and the sound is loud, and I felt the thrill to fling my soul out to the crowd. That's a fun thing to do. And yet the main gratitude that I have for it is this thing about how it gave me this ability to learn how to open that channel of communication between my own heart and mind, so that instead of my heart just kind of quietly stewing on something, I have this daily practice of coming to my heart. I pretend that I'm writing a song, but really it's just coming to my heart and saying, is there anything you're trying to tell me that I've been too busy to hear? And so this song winds up having this gratitude that I have loved deeply. And then the song says, that can't be undone, as if that's the thing that really makes it worth everything, that my practice of music has given me the ability to sort of make it rain, make the world fertile ground for love, make my relationships sing like a good song, make my sense of community where I live sing like a good song. And so it feels to me like this gratitude I have for music, it's been a kind of spiritual path.
Get ready for the most beautiful storm you'll ever experience. I made it rain.
I climbed the hill. I built the wings that let me fly. I found the lift to where the air was cold and thin. I saw the town from high above the clouds I ride. I made it rain. I found the words. I took the time to work it through. I knew my heart. I had the nerve to speak my truth. I found the will. I sang the songs that kept me sane. I made it rain. I have gone the distance. Now my race is run. I have loved deeply. That can't be undone. I got to stand where lights are hot and sound is loud. I felt the thrill to fling my soul out to the crowd. I cast a spell. I made new beauty from old pain. I made it rain. Have gone the distance. Now my race is run. I have loved deeply. That can't be undone. I climbed the hill. I built the wings that let me fly. I found the lift to where the air was cold and thin. I saw the town from high above the clouds I ride. I made
you've got the blessing of David Wilcox here today for Song of the Soul. I Made It Rain is just one of the gems on his album, The Way I Tell the Story, his latest album. And David, before I go on, there's a lot I want to talk to you about content related to that song. But my question is that in some particular different rhythm or time signature or something? Number one, I'm not really conversant with jazz, but I think you are. But I had a sense, I'm a folk dancer, so I tend to move. And when you dance the Balkan dances, they have unusual time signatures we're not used to in the U.S. very much. Tell me about that one.
Well, that is a co-write, and the music was not mine. It's a guitar part from this lovely friend of mine, Adam Levy, and he just sent it as an instrumental. We've co-written a few songs, and I decided that the words I should put to it would not be along the same melody that the guitar is playing. I wanted to play a melody that would have a syncopated kind of rhythm around it. So it's kind of a call and response, music and lyric, and that's what gives it that interesting rhythm.
Well, I do want to talk more about this, but first I want to remind folks that you are listening to Song of the Soul. 20 plus years have been doing this, and last time I had David Wilcox here was back in 2013. So that's a lot of years and a lot of music and a lot of folk therapy that you're doing through your songs, David. On our website, again, northernspiritradio.org, you'll find the 37-plus stations across the nation that carry our programs. You'll find both Song of the Soul and Spirit in Action. You'll find our board members. We can have board members all over, so maybe that's a calling that you may have to nurture this work at World Healing through both news and music. We try and approach things differently here than probably the doom-scrolling experiences you have. We want to find what lifts up the world. And so you'll find more information about that on northernspiritradio.org. Please post comments. We prefer two-way communication. I'm an extrovert. I think a lot of the people I interview are introverts, and it's part of the mystical connection that they have with their music. And my joy is in being welcomed into that inner sanctum where they make such beauty and wisdom come through. So check it out on our website. Please donate to keep us going. Our sustainability completely depends on you because we refuse donations from corporations or from government. And point being, we don't want strings attached that are going to keep us from our pursuit of world healing. Again, we just listened to I Made It Rain, that David Wilcox, website davidwilcox.com. Of course, the link's on northernspiritradio.org. He co-wrote it with Adam Levy. How often do you co-write? Is this like one out of five songs, one out of 10, one out of 1,000?
Probably one out of 30 or so, something like that. And I do love the process of co-writing. I like it because it's an excuse to deepen a friendship and talk about what matters.
You've got a really strong, I think, music community right there in Asheville, North Carolina. Are these friends elsewhere as well?
Yeah, a lot I catch up with on my travels.
Let's go on to some more of the music. Everything we're sharing today is from the album, The Way I Tell the Story. What's next?
How about Roses? To me, this song is about tending the garden of your own heart and making sure that you still have some beauty and making sure that you curate what goes on in your heart and mind. So I noticed that for me, the reason why I love traveling and playing music is because I love what music can do so much that I am willing to be at my best with every decision I make. It's as if every little thing in the day matters. What I think about, what I listen to, what I'm reading, what I'm eating. Everything has consequences, and so I want to try to lift myself up, heart, mind, and body. And so the way I express that in this song is talking about someone who's tending a garden in the middle of a war zone. It seems ridiculous to be concerned with something as fragile as a beautiful rose when there's bombs going off nearby and dust in the air but it's just a way of seeing something that we all have to live through, which is, how do we not give up? How do we still grow the beauty in our own hearts?
My grandfather planted all these roses, the family land I promised I would tend. The garden wall is cracked from the explosions. It's the beauty I defend. The sound of the machine gun fire still wakes me. I hear the siren scream that we should run. The thought of one more missile strike still shakes me. All our history dead and gone. I will choose to stay, fight the fight my way, on the day we end this war. Let our hearts grow open like the roses. That's the peace worth fighting for. The missiles tore my neighborhood to rubble. So leaf by leaf I wipe away the dust. The air is thick with consequence and trouble. But I'm still living, so I still trust. I trust that when this tragic chapter finally closes, and the wind has cleared the smoke from all this war, we're going to need the fragrance of the roses, the promised peace worth fighting for. I will choose to stay, fight the fight my way, on the day we end this war. Let our hearts grow open like the roses. That's the peace worth fighting for. What gets grown through generations can be blown up overnight. I live to save the roses. This is how I fight. I will choose to stay, fight the fight my way, on the day we end this war. Let my heart grow open like the roses. That's the peace worth fighting for. Let our hearts grow open like the roses. That's the peace worth fighting for.
A song of the pursuit, the consciousness of beauty amidst the rubble. A song is Roses by David Wilcox. Website, davidwilcox.com. If you don't know how to spell any of those things, come by northernspiritradio.org and we'll connect you up. And that's from his album, The Way I Told the Story. I had the question, David, was there a specific place of rubble, or is this the general psychological rubble of the world that you were talking about? I was thinking of Gaza. I was thinking of Ukraine. I was thinking of so many places.
You're right to think those. The song works better if it has a surface that you can skate out over, but the depth of it is the way we tend our own hearts. Yeah. So I guess it's what my poetry teacher would have called the exteriorization of interiority.
Oh, wow.
Don't you love that?
Big words. Let's hustle right along. I want to get everything in, including all of your words. What's next?
How about I Can't Argue?
And is that true? You can't?
This is a song that, again, sort of makes visible something that everyone is dealing with. It's a song about addiction. And, you know, in this song, it's portrayed as a more substance abuse kind of addiction, watching a friend descend into addiction. But I think my feeling about humans and habits. You could talk about the time that you waste on reels that makes you feel like you kind of got duped. It's the same mental machinery, in my opinion. And so I have always written lots of songs about addiction. Chet Baker's unsung swan song way back when. There's a lot of songs about what keeps us from a beautiful life. And mostly it's habit. Mostly it's doing the things that don't bring us life. So this is a spooky song because it's kind of exaggerated to the point where you're really seeing a life destroyed. But it's the same across the whole spectrum, in my opinion.
I wouldn't speak because I don't have the right to criticize the way you live your life. But I've got this fear that binds my heart so tight. You'll fall so far, you'll lose your inner light. That burning bowl, fragile pipe you fill. One big prize for every little thrill. Your sense of hope lost down that slippery hill. Gone with the smoke that burns away your will. But I can't argue, what good would it do? Can't argue, I can't get through to you.
Don't start the fight.
I can't argue, you hurt my point of view. Who am I talking to? You're not the one I knew. At times you quit, I see your spirit clear. Heart gets strong, drive gets back in gear. Your eyes get bright till that first time I hear that hissing touch that makes you disappear. But I can't argue, 'cause what good would it do?
You think you're right.
I can't argue, I can't get through. Hurt my point of view. Who am I talking to? You're not the one I knew. How many ticks of the clock does it take for a slip? Like a drip, like a drop, a mistake, like a leak in the hull of a boat on a lake to be sunk. But I can't argue, 'cause what good would it do? I can't argue, I can't get through to you.
Don't start the fight.
I can't argue, you hurt my point of view. Who am I talking to? You're not the one I knew.
Who did you think you were?
You're not.
I Can't Argue is passed on to us, channeled to us through David Wilcox. And David, I believe there's another voice in there. Who is that?
Ellis Paul did that second part.
And what's your connection with Ellis?
Just been friends for a long time.
Having the second voice clearly speaking out made it so live. It actually tore up my heart a bit because I know some of those conversations between me and others and between me and myself. Was this supposed to be a second voice within you or an external?
Good question. I don't know. I think some of these songs work on me in different ways over the years as I sing them. At first, you know, this song was just for someone else to kind of give them the courage to sort of steal their will, But I think, yeah, it's always good to have that reminder of sort of how habits work on us.
I had the sense also that there's the evolution we go within ourselves, just as we don't necessarily remember the past, as you were mentioning earlier, David, that sometimes we start walking down channels and it ends up changing our world. I have to say, getting to some specifics, there are some people who have been good friends whose minds seem to have changed and their values seem to change so much that they politically they went to a place that I thought they could never go. So addiction isn't only drug or alcohol or something kind of addiction. There's any number of addictions that one faces internally and externally.
I think there are people who get off on the energy of anger and get off on just the sort of agitation and the fear of that isolation politically. It's scary stuff.
Is that much about the agitation you feel? I mean, there's more than enough aggravating us in our daily life without thinking of bombs falling in Iran or people starving on concentration camps on this. Without thinking of that, there's plenty to be all the way upset about. Where does most of your angst come from?
I think it is useful to have that energy if you can use it as a fuel. You know, my two parents had very different ways of dealing with their anger. And my mom really thought, okay, it's just energy. And if you use it in the right way, it can make change. It can get you out there in the world. And my dad really kind of burned his energy inside and it consumed him. And so, yeah, energy, it's anger's, it would be unwise to leave gasoline hanging around your living room. Your house would burn down. But if you put it in the right machine, it can do work. And, you know, anger's the same way. So I think songs like this give me some accountability to, like, watch out. This is dangerous stuff. You know, use it, but don't let it burn you.
Well, we've only got a few moments left, David, so I would like to end with one more song. How shall we conclude your Song of the Soul?
Let's go Endless Summer Blue. This is a beautiful love song, and it scans the whole time of my relationship with Nance. My lovely Nance passed away a few months ago. And this song starts with the takeoff of our relationship, and it's using the imagery of going skydiving at a small airfield and going to the little jump school, you know, and learn how to do the parachute landing fall. And then you go up in the airplane and sit in the door, put your foot on the step, put your hand on the strut, and then go. And that falling, I'm using skydiving as a way to talk about falling in love. And so in this song, I'm proposing to my wife mid-fall. And then by the third verse, I'm talking about, you know, this beautiful way of seeing the world on that beautiful summer day from way up high. But then in the third verse, it says, and the winter comes and the sky is cold and gray, but we'll keep the endless summer blue, and I will be in love with you.
That's how we're going to conclude today's Song of the Soul. It's the second time that David Wilcox has shared his Song of the Soul with us. I'll have a link on northernspiritradio.org back to the first one from 2013 as well. But I can't think of a more beautiful way to go out, David, than with the endless summer blue. I feel the tears rising up through my eyes as I think of the consequences of not having Nance around anymore for you. And I'm so grateful that you come here and share your music and bare your heart when there's so much pain yet to be surfed over and dived through. And I appreciate that you do that so faithfully. Thanks for joining us for Song of the Soul.
My pleasure.
Again, his website is davidwilcox.com. It's on northernspiritradio.org. Recent album is The Way I Tell the Story. And we send you off today with Endless Summer Blue. We'll see you next week for Song of the Soul.
saw the leaves riding on the morning wind, easy slow circles as they fall. I could feel the blue sky call. So I did a search, found a little brown school near, an airfield that isn't far to drive. We could take a blue sky.
The theme music for Song of the Soul is by Chris Williamson, and it is called Song of the Soul. Check out all things Song of the Soul on northernspiritradio.org. Guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Send your Songs of the Soul to me, Mark Helpsmeet, via the info on our website, and join us weekly for Song of the Soul.